Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to AGI Greenpac Q2 FY 2024 earnings conference call, hosted by Arihant Capital Markets Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Miraj M. Shah from Arihant Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Enzo. Hello and good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining into AGI Greenpac Q2 FY 2024 earnings call. From the management today, we have Mr. Rajesh Khosla, President and CEO, Mr. Om Prakash Pande, CFO, and Mr. Sandeep Sikka, Group CFO. So without further ado, I'll hand over the call to management for their opening remarks and commentary. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to AGI Greenpac Q2 FY 2024 earnings call. We have already circulated our earnings presentation, which is available on our website and the stock exchange website. We hope you have gone through the presentation, and we would be happy to answer any questions afterwards. Our financial performance continues to be robust, showcasing significant year-on-year growth. In Q2 FY 2024, we reported revenue from operations of rupees 615 crore.
Mr. Pande, I'm really sorry to interrupt you, sir. Could you speak a little louder because your volume is not that loud?
Yeah, okay. In Q2 FY 2024, we reported revenue from operations of rupees 615 crore, marking a substantial 20% year-on-year growth compared to rupees 512 crore in Q2 FY 2023. Our EBITDA stood at rupees 139 crore, with a commendable margin of 22.4%, reflecting a remarkable 59% year-on-year increase from rupees 87 crore. Our profit before tax reached rupees 74 crore from rupees 47 crore, showing a corresponding growth of 59%, and our PAT grew by 65% to rupees 56 crore. During H1 FY 2024, we reported revenue from operations amounting to rupees 1,174 crore, representing a notable 14% year-on-year growth when compared to rupees 1,034 crore reported in H1 FY 2023. Our EBITDA at rupees 279 crore demonstrated a commendable margin of 23.5%, marking an impressive 55% year-on-year increase from previous fiscal year rupees 179 crore. Furthermore, our profit before tax reached 160 crore, reflecting a corresponding growth of 57% when compared to rupees 102 crore reported in the same period of the previous fiscal year. Our PAT grew by 20% to rupees 120 crore. Our net debt stood rupees 558 crore as on 30th September 2023. We'll continue to maintain our financial discipline, maintain internal efficiency, and uphold our commitment to sustain business practices. Now, I would hand over the call to Mr. Khosla to talk about packaging product business operational performance.
Thank you, Mr. Pande. Ladies and gentlemen, I am delighted to share with you the outstanding financial result of AGI Greenpac Limited for the second quarter of the fiscal year 2024. We have witnessed remarkable growth, and I would like to highlight a few key points that underpin our continued success. Relining of one of the furnaces undertaken in Q1 2024 is now complete, and our capacity utilization during the quarter exceeds 95% on the back of efficient planning, operational flexibility, optimized production processes, and strategic inventory management. Our dedication to enhancing internal efficiencies and ensuring customer loyalty has been the driving force behind our accomplishments. We firmly believe that these principles are instrumental in propelling AGI Greenpac Limited to greater heights. As we look ahead, we remain committed to these values, which we consider fundamental to our future success. Thank you for your trust in AGI Greenpac Limited, and I am confident that together we will continue to prosper and meet the ever-evolving demands of our industry. We are now ready to take any questions from your side.
Thank you so much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Harsh Shah from Dalal & Broacha Stock Broking Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my side. Firstly, on the capacity utilization that you have mentioned of 95%, so would that be on 1600 tons capacity or the 1700 tons capacity?
So this capacity, new additional capacity had come in the month of June, and this we are talking basis the overall capacity which is here, other than the 154 ton buses, which is right now operating at around 60-70%.
Okay. And secondly, so basically the utilization level that we are running at, would it be safe to assume that we would be incurring further capex, say this year, by the end of this year or next year, for further capacity addition, or would it be a case wherein we are kind of focusing more on HNGL if that acquisition goes through?
Rajesh, you want to take it?
Okay, the capacity utilization is certainly 95% plus 96%, and in a glass industry, capacity utilization plays a very important role for the techno-economic parameters, and fortunately we are running to the same. As per the business principles, when you are reaching this capacity, it requires a additional capacity addition. But as you know, we have the plans for some organic and inorganic growths are already there in pipeline. We may like to fix up those issues first, then rather than putting up anything else.
Okay. And one last question. The margins, are these kind of sustainable over medium to long term, say above 20%?
You know, these margins we have been getting for last few quarters on quarters, and every quarter we have been saying that these are the numbers at which the company is aiming, planning and sustaining. And we hope so that these are the numbers at which the company will like to remain there for the times to come.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chetta from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Just based on the capacity utilization numbers that you shared between quarter four, quarter one and quarter two, on whatever capacity that you had, is it fair to assume that there is a 8 to 10% drop in the glass realizations?
It is not 8 to 10% glass realization. There are number of factors which impact the realization. Actually, market measures quarter to quarter definitely from their perspective. But if you see, there is a seasonality involved in the overall business. In hot seasons, you have a more demand from beer. And then rest of the period, you have liquor and then food. There is a seasonality to the overall realization matrices. Mm-hmm. So you will see apple to apple realization mapping on a quarter to quarter will not yield anything. What is here to see is because we have given a guidance that on a medium term, our margins should be in a range for AGI ranging between 21-23%. And that's our aim, you know, maintain those margins. Part of our contracts, we have a, price adjustment fluctuation formula when we deal with the large multinational clients. So there has been some softening of input raw material prices, so we have given those benefits to them. But, you know, the delta which we accrue in our business, and as also Rajesh was saying, as we are increasing the capacity utilization, there are internal efficiencies which we start building. So it's this whole, you know, the growth in margin is more linked to, you know, how efficiently we can increase.
Mr. Sikka, I think for the benefit of all, there are no price reduction, but there are price adjustments.
Okay. So then I'll put it the other way. This 1845 tons capacity that we have after this 100 TPD getting added, right? These plants run at 99% utilization. Quarter four was a 99% utilization, if you had mentioned. Quarter two now is 95. So the question is, at this 1854 TPD, based on whatever is the situation today, what is the maximum revenues possible on glass?
So basically,
considering the seasonality, you know, product.
So if you see on 31st March, you know, we had container glass capacity at 1500 tons per day, but with that relining and the expansion, we have debottlenecked and increased our capacity on the container glass by 100 tons. And apart from this is 154 tons, which has additionally come in. We have given a guidance that based on the last year revenues, we should be able to maintain our growth momentum range around 15-18% growth. So, you know, it's difficult for us to comment anything on a quarter-to-quarter basis. But
no, sir, I didn't ask you on what number when. I just asked you what capacity you have on ground.
Okay, I like to answer the same. As far as this quarter is concerned, because the maximum revenue will surely depend upon the prices of the glass which are prevailing in the market. And these prices are directly proportional to the raw material prices and the fuel prices which are there, because the final prices are adjusted according to that. If you might have seen that after a COVID period, when there was an upsurge in the fuel prices, the prices got adjusted automatically. And when there will be a softening down, so there will be the price adjustment accordingly. So today, if you want to tell you what can be the maximum revenue, that is a little, I think it's a very hypothetical thing to talk about. But on a safer side or on a practical side, you can easily take quarter into four times is the number which we can foresee today on that basis.
This quarter into four times.
Yeah, but this is the normal thing. But seasonality factor is of course there, because quarter three, quarter four normally operates little better than the quarter two. So these are the seasonality numbers. So you have to take everything in consideration and do it.
Okay. And you have 400 crores coming from the PET and the closures, right? Annually.
Mr. Sikka, I think we are not giving the breakup normally in the system,
no,
I think so.
I am not asking for a particular quarter, but just looking at the conference calls of quarter four and all those, just running the dot.
So another 250-300 crores in that range.
Okay. And is there a swing in realizations between every quarter considering the product mix?
Absolutely, it has to happen, because each segment has a different realization and the mix basically decides what can be there.
So the richest mix is quarter four?
Historically, it has happened like that. I hope it is going to happen like that only.
Okay, okay. And my last question is, sir, on the expansion side now, what is the progress on HNG and any other expansions that should be undertaken in AGI Greenpac?
So basically on HNG, as you might be aware, there were cases in NCLAT which we have won. There were two cases. there were two underlying issues on which the cases were filed by around 6-7 parties. So we have won that, and those parties have now, you know, put those put the appeals against that orders, incident orders, into the Supreme Court. Supreme Court has yet to admit these cases, so next hearing is on 5th of December. So we feel, I think in next again, you know, we can only give a guidance. This is subject to, you know, judicial processes wherein, you know, we can't estimate the time schedule, but should be 3 to 4 months more, you know.
Okay. And on the capacity and the capacity expansion, so first clarifying on the capacity, you said 1500 TPD at the end of quarter four.
1600.
1600.
Yeah, 1600 is now 1700, another 154 ton we have on the high-end furnace.
So 1600 plus 100 and plus 1, so it's 1854 TPD, right?
1854 TPD.
Right, 1854 TPD is what we have. And which was basically 1500 plus 154 last year. It was 1654 TPD last year?
Last year it was 1600 plus 154 and this year is 1700
okay.
plus 1.
Okay. So when you say 15% growth, which means again by year end you will be fully utilized, right?
That's the plan.
Okay. So what happens on the capacity expansion in Greenpac?
So basically, as Rajesh has already spoken, you know, the focus is not to invest more money, but we have another furnace coming up for relining next year. So we'll also try to debottleneck the capacity there. So as much because the market demand is supporting the whole thing. So it's not putting a new capex, but whatever is coming for the relining, so we try to, you know, make the furnaces a bigger size so that we can give the higher throughput.
Okay, okay. And at what capex do these realignment and...
Sir, Mr. Chetan, sorry to interrupt you. If you do have more questions, I would advise you to please rejoin the queue.
Okay.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Virat Pansuria from Skyridge Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers. My question is regarding the other expense part. It has increased significantly as a percentage of sales. So what is the reason for the same, and is it a one-time thing or will it sustain?
So if you see right now on this in quarter two especially, we had many litigations for the purpose of acquisition of HNG, and these litigations were at all places which includes NCLT, NCLAT, even at High Court and also the Supreme Court. So it includes, you know, a big chunk of legal expenses, and as a part of the overall process, since the matters are in court, so I would not like to disclose what are those legal expenses, but definitely once we acquire these expenses, will go off.
Got it. And any outlook on the margins, like of raw materials and the current terms?
I couldn't hear you properly. Your voice is not that clear to me.
Yeah, my question is regarding the margins, sorry, the outlook on the raw material prices and the current trend.
Rajesh, the question is on the outlook of pricing.
Okay, you're talking outlook on the raw material prices or the input prices, am I right?
Yes, yes.
As you know, the raw material prices, of course, demand and supply is a one part, but the geopolitical situation is another part. The way things are happening in the West Asia part, so it is anybody's guess that what can happen to the fuel and what can happen to the freight charges, which are the shipping line, because it was next to the Suez Canal. So all those aspects are there. So I think if I take it, these things out of picture, which should not be there, so probably it looks to be a very flat market in the times to come. Besides the geopolitical situation, if rest of the factors I take it in consideration, it looks to be a very flat market. But, you know, geopolitical situations are too volatile and it can do anything. Yeah.
Relating to all the ongoing stuff which is happening in the Middle East, so can have an, you know, sort of...
Because fuel prices are directly proportional to the stability factor in the Middle East. And thereafter, even other products like, for example, soda ash and other products, they are also directly proportional to the freight charges and the shipping line availability and even the fuel charges to extract the soda ash from the mines and from the lakes or something like that. So it is very directly proportional to the geopolitical situation. So that's what I think. It looks to be flat except this part.
Thank you so much. That's it from my side.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Darshil from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thank you so much for taking my question. So some of my questions have been answered. So I would just like to maybe, you know, get what your sense is that, you know, we are maybe not doing capex on Asia and waiting for the acquisition, but due to our various litigations that taking some time. So maybe from what I see, the FY24 and we'll be at full capacity. So what timeline do we have for our own internal views that, okay, the litigation is taking its time, but then we might just, you know, keep on adding significant capacity so that, you know, we can keep our, you know, journey of growth of 18-20% for FY25. So what would be your color on that? Like, you know, how do you see it? Because we know that in our country, litigations can sometimes take more time than what we intend to.
So we have already spoken about, you know, the capex. So this year, one event was we added 100 ton capacity. And apart from it, on 1st January, the commercial production on the high-end 154 ton furnace started. Next year, another capex, another furnace is coming up for relining. And we see an opportunity for further expanding the capacity there, you know, by 50 to 100 tons, depending on, you know, how the whole thing works around. That's how, you know, we continue to gain the momentum on the sales growth as such. Plus, obviously, the product mix will play a very critical role as we move forward. That can give us a huge opportunity in terms of maintaining our growth. Even with the, you know, marginal increment in the volumes, we can continue the momentum on the sales.
So is it fair to assume, sir, irrespective of when acquisition goes through for FY25, also we'll be on a similar growth trajectory with our guided margins? Is that fair to assume, sir?
So, we have guidance that we will continue the momentum of 15-18% growth when we hold it as of now. So, I think you are asking a question of 25-26, as I could understand. So, by that time, we feel the acquisition will come and we'll have a bigger play.
My last question, sir. With the acquisition, what could be our targeted, maybe double the revenue, or what would it add to us? Maybe 5,000 crores is something that we could look for with the acquisition coming in. How would that play out? And will it be similar margin?
Post the acquisition, we feel that in next 2 to 3 years, once the acquisition is done, and, you know, we slowly ramp up the furnaces which are in a not that good situation today. We should have a total combined sales ranging 5,500 crores plus.
And with similar margins, sir?
No, margins at the acquired company may be different because it all depends on, you know, how the efficiencies have to be built. So when we acquire any asset, efficiency doesn't build in the same day.
Correct.
It's wrong to assume that to compare our efficient operations versus theirs. So we'll have to invest time, energy, resources to, you know, build those efficiencies, and this will take some time.
Okay, thank you, sir. All the best. Looking forward to this number. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Gada from Abascus AMC. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Firstly, would be great, you know, if you could provide the production volumes or the production numbers for the second quarter and also the volume number, the sales volume numbers.
So, Nikhil, we have not been providing this as a matter of practice. Mm-hmm. So, I would like
to... safe to assume that when I do the calculation of 95% with the quarterly capacity, would I more or less get the production numbers?
Yes, but
this can be your calculation method because there are multiple more factors which are involved in that.
You being an analyst, I think you can take it for your own calculation. But the company as a policy, we are not declaring and we may not like to share those numbers.
All right, sir. But would it be fair to at least give us the volume growth numbers and then how much we have grown this particular quarter?
Too difficult to say this part, sir.
So because the reason for asking is, when we look at our first quarter numbers, and I assume that we had the furnace shutdown as well, so some of the sales were lost, which you had also alluded in the first call. And now we are seeing this 550-560 odd crore run rate going to 615, so around 50-60 crores of sales that we have added. So just wanted to understand whether it was from some pricing action or it was also from first quarter to second quarter we had seen the bump up in volumes.
Volume also has played, and product mix has also played the role to bring this total number to 621 crores, what we have declared. 615 crores, what we have declared.
As a part of the process, I think there is a seasonality involved. In some of the quarters, we do production to stock. Because the demand which is there in, technically if you see the demand coming from Q3, Q4, so when you see the inventory numbers versus the March, so you will see that increase also happening during those weeks.
Correct.
So the good part is, I think the communication to the community is that whatever capex we did, we started utilizing that capex in an efficient manner. And 154 ton will load right now. That is at 65-70% capacity utilization, so which we feel that in next 12 to 18 months we should be able to fully load up.
Got it, sir. I'm still assuming that specialty glass plant, we have still not been able to generate the specialty sort of volumes, right? We're still working on the, let's say, the beer business or the other bottling business, but not on the cosmetic part of the business. So we are still awaiting orders for that, right?
Yes. Rajesh, please.
If I understand the question, you mean to say this furnace of 154 is not able to generate the business of cosmetic, but they are generating the business of normal glass. Is it like that?
Yes.
Not really. Okay. The business from 154 is on the cosmetic side, and the business what you are talking as the normal glass, we cannot produce the normal glass. But yes, it always happens because sometimes you have also to produce some of the new segments to enter or to develop the new segments. So that may have been mistaken as the normal glass segments, but normally 154 produce the cosmetic and they sell the cosmetic only. Even the cosmetic, there are different spectrum. One is a very high-end cosmetic and one is a medium-end cosmetic. Right. So there are various segments and we have to address the various segments on the basis of the volumes availability, market availability, price availability, and so many other factors.
Got it, sir. Thank you for that. And then, sir, you mentioned that we have not done any price reductions but price adjustments. So I really did not get that. Are you trying to say that the spot price
is... price reduction is a one-sided story where the manufacturer or the company, they reduce the price to match with the market requirement. And the price adjustment, it is a two-way understanding between a buyer and a seller on the basis of some predefined formulas or predefined requirements.
Mm-hmm. So, sir, I understand that this would be on our contract business, right? But on the spot business, we would have to pass on the price decline, right? That we have seen in the raw
material. Yes. When we have enjoyed the upside, we have to enjoy the downside also.
So just on that perspective, have we been able to pass on all the price decline or we think that will be further?
Not really, because in a contract, it is the way the prices are captured.
Mm-hmm.
That is the way it has to be adjusted. It is not the prices as available. It is prices as defined.
Got it. Understood. Understood. Sandeep sir, you mentioned that this litigation cost were there in the second quarter. Do we expect them to even come in the third and the fourth quarter?
Not to that extent. So this cost are more in Q1 and Q2. More in Q2. But Q3, you know, right now, one litigation, there are two litigations in Supreme Courts which is going on. So it is not that it will become zero, but definitely not that quantum as we had in Q2. Because in Q2, we had NCLT, NCLAT, High Court, and Supreme Court, all of them together.
Understood. Just a last couple of questions on the P&L and balance sheet side. So we have seen a sharp increase in finance cost. Is it commensurate with the increase in debt that we have seen, or is there a further increase in the cost of debt as well?
So it's more relating to the increase in debt. The cost of debt has not increased substantially. And primarily it is coming from the fact that we recently did this capex of capacity expansion and relining. So this is a depreciation and the interest charge towards it.
Understood. And sir, just one last question, if I may. So we are looking at FCF of close to the way we are going currently, close to in the range of 300-400 crores. Is it something which we are going to keep it for the acquisition purpose, or we plan to reduce the debt meaningfully?
So basically, I don't think we have given a guidance for reduction of debt.
Mm-hmm.
So our acquisition is primarily debt-led here. And we'll see those opportunities of, you know, once we have the entity with us, we may go in, you know, and raise some equity and then, you know, normalize the debt level. But the initial level of debt will rise with the acquisition.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much for answering all my questions and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have more questions? Are we audible? We can't hear you. Disconnect.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Piyush Agrawal. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. My questions have been already answered. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Kaushik Podar from KB Capital Markets Private Limited. Please go ahead.
I just wanted to find out the market share. What is your current market share in glass containers?
It's difficult to answer this question on the market share because there are so many capacities which have come up on the unstructured market side and from the demand side also, import side also. So very difficult to answer on this question right now.
And at least on the organized sector, can't you answer this question?
I think it is these. We can take it on the similar level what we have been defined earlier, back. Yeah.
Which is what is the number you had given?
So if you see this,
around 18% or something like that, 17-18% we used to define.
So okay.
That is the
and
same
once
number.
You get also 8 NG, what will be your market share?
That's what I say. It will be very difficult to say like that because some of the capacities of the XNG may not be operating. That is one part. And some of the capacities of the other people, they may start operating because something is in pipeline. So difficult to say on this matter. It is too personal opinion on the capacity, on the market share.
Yeah, as I understand, HNG capacity was much higher than yours, right?
So basically, if you see...
How much they will be operating, that is a question. Not like a rated one, but how much they are operating because...
Okay, you are talking of the effective capacity, right?
Yes, effective capacity.
Okay. So, since right now your turnover is around 2,500 crores and... you are speaking of something like 5,000 crores by, say, 26 or 27. In that case, will you be having something like 36, 37 or 40% market share by that point of time? Can I take it that way?
I think I have to work out on this. I'm sorry that I'm not able to answer.
You have to give a thumb rule number. Will it be on 35, 40%?
Basically, you can work out these numbers. Basically, it's not a question of that how much market share we have. So we don't work or we don't strategize our plans according to that. So the strategy is always on the customer service and how, you know, we are able to fully load our capacity.
My question is with a different motive. I mean, tomorrow, can the CCI come in the way of your takeover? Because you're clearly over 1,000 crores and gaining market share. Can CCI come up with something like that? Can CCI take a problem?
I have got approval from CCI and you can visit their website and have a copy of the order.
So you have got an approval before this takeover, is it?
We have to. Otherwise, the approval system will not work out. So it is a pre-requirement to operate to the next level.
And the ruling in your case is there in the CCI website, is it? That's what you are saying?
Yes, absolutely.
So basically, you can see the CCI order on the CCI website and you can visit the NCLAT website to have the order against the petition filed against the CCI.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address the questions from all participants in this conference call, please limit your questions to one or two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Vivek Gautam from GS Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, am I audible? Yeah. Hello?
Yes, sir, you are audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So now I just wanted to know about the opportunity size and the premiumization of liquor market which is happening in India on our company. And Basically, what's the expected growth rate we can have over the next 2, 3, 4 years? In business, which we can expect in between, and the impact of raw material soda ash prices on us, sir. Thank you.
Okay. If I understand your question properly, you say the premiumization in the liquor segment is going to grow. So what is our comment for the next 2, 3 years? Am I right like this?
Correct, sir. Correct.
Okay. So in this case, Indian economy is today 3.6, 3.8 trillion economy with a population of 1.4 billion people. So the per capita consumption, per capita income comes out to be close to 2,500 crores or close to that. And maybe it is little more because something is unaccounted, so that can be there. On the other side, when we are moving towards the 5 trillion or 5.5 or 5.6 trillion, so our per capita consumption or per capita income is going to grow to $4,000. So in this $4,000 income level, on a global scale, what we have seen historically in other part of the world, the premiumization on the liquor part grows very fast because the consumption pattern of the behavior or the consumption behavior of the customers is very different in $4,000 and $2,200 because everything goes to the lifestyle. And this is what we start feeling also in the market now. So under this feeling, so certainly the premiumization is to grow. All the big customers, they will be launching the whiskies to attract the customers with those pockets, with those income levels. And certainly the glass is going to play a very big role. So we have already geared up to that level where we are going to address this premiumization and the aspiration of the customer and the consumer and the even the manufacturers to that level. And that is also 154. This new business is also in line with that. So we also have a new experience center, design center. We have the people who can take care of our patents. They can register our designs. So all those activities has been addressed. And this is certainly going to add up the help in premiumization. If my number is, if you take it, my personal opinion, it's not my official stand, but I think so 20 to 30% of the Indian whiskey will be moving towards a premiumization. And you will see a good amount of churning in this segment in the times to come.
Yes, sir. And any hindrances and which we will have to overcome, and what has been the impact of soda ash prices for us?
Yeah. Okay. The soda ash prices are purely, soda ash is a commodity. It's purely on the demand and supply. So there is a total soda ash consumption or a production of around 60 million ton in whole of the world, which is certainly going to grow up to around 75 million ton in the times to come with the new capacities which are being added in Turkey, in USA and in China. So these capacities are being added and the demand and the supply is going to go up. Now it all depends upon the demand, how it's going to match. So as on today, it looks like that these numbers looks to be little flattened. There is not going to be much of the change, and it will remain at the same level, which is already, I think it's a reasonably good level. But again, it will all depends okay, how the geopolitical situation happens. If the demand goes down in the world, the soda ash prices may go down further. If the demand goes up, the prices may little strengthen. So it all depends on the demand side, because demand is a linear curve and supply is a step curve. So step curve is already taken an action and capacities are being added up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Then, ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Niharika from Equitas Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the employee cost side. So we have seen almost 20% quarter on quarter increase from 44 to I think 52 crores. So is it like a one-off or is it like a normal level at 50 crores per quarter?
Rajesh.
Hello.
Rajesh.
I think Mr. Pandey will be able to address it properly.
Yeah. Actually, as you know, that our capacity of 154 was capitalized from the last quarter of the previous financial year. So there was no cost involved for the 154 operation. That also has come into that. That is playing, apart from that, the normal increase in the salary and wages. That is annually given to the employee is included. So these are the normal numbers which is going to be there in the future.
Okay, understood. And I couldn't hear at the initial part of the call, but when we say 95% capacity utilization, it is on 1854 or is it excluding the 154 specialty?
It is excluding one.
Okay, got it. And on a general understanding perspective, as a percentage of cost, what would be a percentage of soda ash and what would be percentage of power in like on a very broader
okay, ma'am, we have no problem in answering, but the problem is the soda ash consumption depends upon so many factors, whether you are using a natural soda ash or you are using a synthetic soda ash. And the other factor which is also very important is it also depends upon how much percentage of collect, which is a scrap, you can say, which is being used. So it is very directly proportional. And the availability of scrap or collect, which we call it in our language, the availability is very, very dicey, very fluctuating, very seasonal, and it all depends. So the percentage of soda ash consumption on per ton of glass, they change very, very drastically from one month to the other month. So that's the reason. Okay. This one number is not very, very accurate or giving a right picture for that.
Okay, so for FY23, what was the percentage? Just on for understanding that out of, say, 100, how much will say soda ash form for FY23?
See, again, I'm saying typically whatever the batch you use it, it consumes almost around 18%, whatever batch. But then it all depends upon the collect percentage also. So if you put together, maybe around 14-15% or something like that.
Okay, understood. And power would form how much?
Power side.
Power increase.
I think so. We do not intend to give the breakup of our cost because of the strategic intent and that's the reason we are not sharing to that level.
Yeah, okay, understood. And my last question is, what is the cost of debt for, weighted average cost of debt for us for this quarter?
That's around 7.8%, around 8%.
7.8%. And it has not increased substantially quarter on quarter, right?
No, not much.
Okay. And yeah, one more question. So I understand that SMG acquisition, the margins would be lower than our, or like compared to AGI. But say 2 years down the line, will SMG acquisition be EPS accretive for us? I understand 5,500 crores of turnover, but do you feel based on your preliminary calculation that it will be EPS accretive?
That's why we are acquiring it.
Okay. Okay, understood. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Amnish from Prabhudas Liladhar Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I have a couple of questions, mainly on the HNG acquisition. The first being that how much is the capacity of HNG? And secondly, the acquisition, does it include both the bottled glass as well as the float glass which HNG used to make?
So HNG doesn't have a float glass today, so they only have a container glass. And HNG today is effectively operating at a capacity ranging 2,300 tons per day to around 2,500-2,600 tons per day. Few of the furnaces, they are already shut for many years. And rest of the furnaces, you know, need capex for, you know, improved efficiency. So that's the status of the HNG furnaces.
Okay. And sir, how much money we are going to pay for that? Because you said that it will be entirely debt funded. And do they still continue to operate those furnaces on, say, furnace oil, or they have over the years changed them to, you can say, your natural gas and all?
So we cannot disclose the acquisition price because we are bound by the confidentiality under the resolution plan. We have a data on HNG only, which is a public data. This is an acquisition under the IBC, and the data is available in the data room. So they are operating in furnace oil and a mix of other fuels also.
Okay.
In this case, the natural gas and furnace oil again also depend upon the prices. And in last few quarters, we have seen there is a huge fluctuation on the prices of natural gas. Sometimes the natural gas are competitive and sometimes they are beyond even any justification of the prices because of the Ukraine-Russia war, the availability of the gases. So they are interchangeable, but depends upon purely on the economics.
Okay, sure. And sir, just one bit, finally you stated that post this acquisition is consummated, you are looking at 5,500 crores sort of a top line. So if I annualize your current top line and HNG, because it's a publicly listed company, a top line of around 2,500 crores, so don't you think 5,500 crores is too conservative, or I would say, or is it factors in that you might have to, say, close down some furnaces for the time being and then refurbish them or relay them and all that stuff?
So the guidance which we have given on 5,500 is not immediate as soon as we acquire. There will be definitely time lags because we'll have to invest money, resources in terms of relining those furnaces. And whatever is the market demand to a certain extent, that only we can sell. So it's not that if they have a capacity of 6,000 tons or 7,000 tons, we'll start producing 7,000 tons. So, you know, ultimately the product has to be sold in the market. So, you know, there is a natural demand in the market, growth in the volumes. So we will be able to cater that over a period of time. But this is the guidance, you know, for next almost 2 years once we acquire it.
Okay, sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Akshat from Mara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. My question is very simple. Once that acquisition has gone through, that if you have all approval from NCLT and Supreme Court, how much time, according to you, it will take for the integration between AGI and the other company?
What do you mean by integration?
means that you will able to manage their capacity and run it according to you as you want.
So, Sikka, I'll answer with that. This integration is a multi-facet issue. So, integration of selling, integration of operations, integrations of raw material procurement, integration of IT, integration of HR facilities or accounting systems and other things. So, this is the multi-facet. So, probably what is going to happen is after the acquisition completes, some of the integration will happen in a short span of, say, around 2 weeks or 3 weeks time, but particularly on the selling side of that, and then subsequently on the purchase side. Manufacturing side is a matter which is going to take some time, maybe around few weeks or few months. And accounting is a legal issue where we have to integrate. There is no other chance of doing it. And rest of the practices, they will have their own course of time. So this is the thing, and we have also prioritized one by one the how the things are to be integrated.
Okay, and given that this acquisition went through, how much deterioration in the margin you are expecting after the merger? Because that other company might not have the same efficiencies to play for the same margin.
See, we are expecting a good amount of synergies. So on the one side, deterioration can happen because of you might have seen. But on the other side, hello?
Yes, sir, I'm listening.
But on the other side, there is a balancing act of some sort of synergies, some sort of integration, some sort of a best practices in the manufacturing, what we are doing here, some knowledge transfer will be there. And then the cost reduction because of the common facilities, common jobs which we are going to do, rearrangement of the jobs and producing in the best possible economical manner. So these are also the factors which are certainly going to push the margins. So our visual thinking is to make the things at par, and but there is a time lag between what we expect and what we are there. The easiest way is both are listed company. Somebody can add up the two numbers and work it out. So that is the starting point of any discussion.
Given that synergy works out there, can you lose some of your clients? Is there some common clients which you have to sacrifice or some volume, something like that?
Not sacrifice.
Some business gone.
We are there to serve the market. We are there to serve the customers. And all of our revenue, profit, everything will come from the customer. So those are the people who are to be taken care of. And they are the people who are will be in the focus. Our first strategy is to make sure that the whole market is fed properly with the right material and with the right quality so that our industries, all the downstream industries, they are able to get the exact material what they are looking for, and they should be able to add to the economy whether through the exports or through the domestic sale. So I don't think so there is any sacrifice or anything, but A plus B model is to be operated.
Okay. So the last question you have would mind.
Really sorry to interrupt you.
Just the last question. So, sir, you have just mentioned in the beginning on the 50th somebody you are hiring in Supreme Court. Can you mention that who has opposed that hiring? It's against which company?
I couldn't hear you properly. Can you repeat the question, please?
So you have mentioned in the beginning there is a hearing going on in Supreme Court. In the beginning,
yes,
of the call. So, can you put some light on that? Which is the other party who is opposing?
So, there are many parties who are opposing. You can check in the name of on the Supreme Court website by name of HNG, so you can see those.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. My best wishes.
Thank you so much. Requesting the participants henceforward, please limit your questions to one or two per participant. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Abhishek Dixit from HEM Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. So congratulations for a good set of numbers. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. So sir, as you said, like in next 2 to 3 years, we are expecting a revenue of 5,000 crore plus. So how much can we expect coming from HNG out of this 500,000 crores?
So basically, if you see this 5,500 crore is acquisition, which is subject to, you know, the current litigations and, you know, our acquisition under the IBC process. We have given for AGI standalone that we will continue our momentum of 15-18% growth. This I'm talking of momentum, that means next year also we should expect a growth from the, even on the standalone. So this is how the whole number looks like. When we acquire HNG, we have stated that if not that we'll get the full production on day one, we may have to reline certain furnaces, shut down certain furnaces for the time being, so that, you know, we can, you know, bring it and do CapEx. So total number is based on the overall mix of everything. One, we are acquiring. Secondly, we are stabilizing. And third, you know, market demand should be that we should be able to fully load those furnaces.
So, sir, any figure in the initial years, how much can we expect, like, any amount?
No, that's a market estimate, you know, like...
Okay. And sir, what will be our over debt level after acquisition of HNG?
So we have given a guidance on our media that post-acquisition, right now this whole acquisition is happening with the debt initially.
Yeah.
But in 2 years, you know, from post-acquisition, we feel the debt level should be ranging 2,000 to 2,500 crores.
Okay. So, sir, are we funding this full acquisition from debt only? Over.
To start with.
Okay, sir. Okay, best wishes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
I'd just like to thank everybody. I think this has been a very interactive session, and I hope we were able to satisfy the queries. If anything else is there, you can get back to us or to our investor relations agency, and we'll be very happy to answer. Thank you. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you so much. On behalf of Arihant Capital Markets Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.